Hi, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, and you are listening to What a Piece of Junk podcast.
Hello, Space Junkies, and welcome to a very special and very intense episode of What a Piece of Junk, the Star Wars podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. We're going to spare you our usual preamble because if you're like us, it's Star Wars Day and you're drooling at the fact that you get to watch new Star Wars content. And in this case, it is Star Wars The Bad Batch from Dave Filoni and the awesome Clone Wars team. So, joining me for a live watch-along is my Wookiee co-pilot, our own Dave Filoni, Gooey Chewy, the man of a thousand nicknames, it's Nathan Miracle. Nathan, are you as excited about the Bad Batch as I am?
Oh, let's be honest. I am more excited about the Bad Batch than you are.
This
is from Dave Filoni. It stars Dee Bradley Baker along with Dee Bradley Baker, Dee Bradley Baker, Dee Bradley Baker, and Dee Bradley Baker.
Wow.
That's my kind of cast right there.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and kick off the show. And you guys will get to listen to our live reactions. Now, these are not our first impressions because we couldn't wait until this point in May the 4th to watch the episode. So we have each seen the episode at least once before. I believe Nathan has seen it 7,382 times. But we're going to be giving you our commentary as we go through scene by scene. So if you want to watch along while you're listening to us as your commentary, please begin your episode now.
All right. So we are at the Disney logo, getting ready to watch The Bad Batch.
Yep, and we are doing this with the cool Disney Plus group watch feature. So my computer is synchronizing with Nathan's a bit. I think we're sort of getting caught up with each other here because I have the spitty wheel of Disney magic or something like it. And so it's a cool feature. If you haven't explored this yet, if you live far apart from your Star Wars buddies, you can do this to where you can all watch it in the same time frame so that, you know, nobody is sort of getting left behind. Everyone is along for the ride, as it were. And you could even change the way that people are allowed to control how you view things. So you can let individual users pause or go back of 10 seconds or fast forward or something like that.
I'm, of course, not allowing Scott to do any of that because we're watching this straight through so that you can watch along with us and have the same timing as us. So at this point, we're seeing the closing days of the war here.
Yeah, I was interested to see that we began basically just before Order 66 happens, and we get a little, you know, recap of the action that has gone before to let us know what's been happening in the Clone Wars.
Yep. And I knew that this had to be close to Order 66 immediately when we saw Echo. He joined the Bad Batch in the final season of Clone Wars. And that was not long before the order.
Right. All right. I may be out of sync with you a bit, Nathan. I'm gonna refresh and see if I can get back.
So right now I am watching a certain Padawan has just slid into the scene here. This Padawan is familiar to those of us who have seen Rebels. This is soon to be Kanan Jarrus.
But presently, he is still Caleb Doom. So it was pretty cool for me to see him being a part of this episode. I was not at all expecting to see Caleb Doom in this episode.
No, there were quite a few things that happened in this episode that I was expecting. This is not one of them. And there go a bunch of droids.
Yeah, it's nice that when reinforcements show up, there's only five of them, but it's these particular five clones.
Glad to see Tech getting some fighting style there. He put on some ion bursts on the droids. One of the things I was concerned about was that Tech and Echo might overlap a little too much. They gave Tech a little bit of personality with the way that he actually fights the droids.
Yeah, his bobbing and weaving and ducking and dodging while he's attaching those explosive devices or ion grenades, as they were, was giving him a good bit of character development there. But I also enjoy his overall demeanor in this first episode, where he's basically like the Mr. Spock of their group, almost.
Yes, yes, he's definitely the smart guy. It's interesting to see this droid with the black paint on him. Makes me almost wish that I built droids in Star Wars Legion, but there's just too many of them in each unit.
Yes.
We get the payoff with Tech there, blowing up one of the droids, several of the droids.
Well, Nathan, I'm just going to let you sort of run point on the commentary here, because my playback is not wanting to keep me aligned with you. I blame the weather.
Oh, no.
But I pretty much have an idea as to where the episode goes. So you take point here, and I'll chime in with my comments.
All right. So we're getting our first looks at the Bad Batch without their helmets. I'm loving the green armor that the clone captain has here. The red clone captain, as the yes. Bad Batch calls him.
Yes, the regs.
Caleb Dune really enjoys playing with the Bad Batch. It is a small universe, small galaxy. Our main characters all seem to meet each other at some point.
Yes.
Scott?
Yes, I'm still here.
You have paused my video.
Oh, I didn't know I could do that. All right.
All right.
So. I think we're back on. So now we've got Caleb Doom introducing the team for those of you who don't know their names already.
Yes, and I like the fact that they do that introduction just for anybody who didn't watch that final season of The Clone Wars.
And here we have Wrecker not knowing what the word exploit means, which is just a great touch of his vocabulary.
I mean, it is a two-syllable word. That's getting up there for him.
Now, at this point, when Tech started talking about how the Clone War may soon be over, I thought that he was about to tell them that Order 66 was coming down the pike. But he was actually reporting on Obi-Wan versus Grievous.
Yeah, which is actually a little further in than I thought it was going to be. They mentioned their reinforcements being recalled to the capital. So I thought this was happening at the beginning of Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, no, I believe Tech meant the capital of Kellar, not the capital of the Republic.
Oh, I took that to mean Coruscant.
No, I think he would have said Coruscant if he meant that. I think he meant the capital of this planet.
Mm. But at any rate, mentioning Obi-Wan facing off against Grievous definitely sets the time frame here.
Yes.
And also let us know Order 66 is about to happen, because that's where Obi-Wan was at the time.
Yep, and here it goes. And Master Balaba is suddenly aware of horrible things about to happen in the Force, and here comes Palpatine and his excellent dentistry. This man, the Sith dentist plan has got to be the worst plan in the galaxy.
Yeah.
So, huge fans of the new expanded universe have already been on social media today complaining mildly about how this death of Depa Balaba contradicts what happened in the Caleb Dune comic book series, the Kanan Jarrus comic book series from Marvel many years ago now. There is a way that you, if you know, from a certain point of view, the two tellings of his experience of Order 66 still can jibe together. It doesn't bother me too much, but it is a bit of a retcon. But, you know, this is Star Wars. We get that often.
But they did make sure to say, or to have the last thing his master said to him was, run.
Exactly. Yep.
So to me, that does jive. That's maybe not completely 100%, but it's close enough.
Yeah, yeah. And here we get to see the Bad Batch, as we predicted in our prediction show in episode 49 of What a Piece of Junk, we predicted that some of the Bad Batch, anyway, would not have functioning inhibitor chips, so the biochips that the Bad Batch have do not kick in and basically brainwash them instantaneously like it does for all the regs.
Yeah, we figured that would likely be the case, that they would not participate in Order 66. And for the most part, we were right.
Yep. Of course, Caleb Dune doesn't know that, though, so he is running and hiding, because who can blame him?
I certainly couldn't. I'd be hiding at that point.
I do love the way Crosshair's helmet has that crosshair painted on it, on his right eye.
Yeah. And this is kind of our first inclination that Crosshair, ooh, following orders.
Yes.
Good soldiers do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on his helmet. I mean, I know you can't see his face, but... But it's amazing how much expression they got on his helmet in that scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, Sam Witwer has often talked about mask acting and how Juilliard teaches that to actors that are going to that prestigious school to get training. And, of course, Sam knows a lot about Star Wars acting. And he's often talked about mask acting and how you can portray or evoke emotion even though your face is hidden, with posture and head inclination and all that stuff. And so the animators here have done a great job of doing that mask acting for each of the clones in the Bad Batch.
So the Jedi have quote unquote committed treason.
Yep. And Crosshairs, who is leaning toward following Order 66 to the letter, says that explains things. And Hunter says it doesn't begin to explain things, because how could the Jedi commit treason when they're like the leaders of the clone army of the Republic?
And also, clearly the Jedi in front of them has not committed treason.
Yep.
So this is an interesting point here. Caleb Dune is rather effective against Crosshair.
Mm-hmm.
The clones were engineered in part to be effective against Jedi.
Yep.
And we see other clones, regular clones, take down Jedi with ease. And Crosshair, despite being an excellent sniper, has trouble with Caleb Dune. I have to wonder if part of that's because of the genetic tampering, the defects, as it were.
Oh, that may be I would say that's 5% of why they couldn't kill Caleb. I think the other 95% is Caleb Doom's skill is being enhanced immensely at this moment in time by the Living Force, because he has a destiny and it is not to die on Keller.
That is an excellent point. Yes.
And of course, I believe that would be why the Bad Batch happened to be on this planet. the day Order 66 was executed.
Because no other group of clones would have questioned the orders like they did.
Yeah.
Well, most of them did.
Right. So this face paint that Hunter wears, do we think it's supposed to just make him look fierce, or is it like to be one half of his face's skull?
I was wondering about that the first time I watched it. I think it's not actually paint. I think it may be a tattoo.
Oh, well, okay.
We never see him without that, even when he's not on a mission.
That's true. But same question. What is the...
you're right. That does not answer the question at all. But I think it is supposed to be kind of an intimidation thing.
Okay.
The other clones have tattoos as well. Fives has a tattoo of a five on his temple. So it's not unheard of. Hunter just takes it to a bit more of an extreme than most clones do.
Yep. And so we see Crosshairs checking to make sure Caleb Doom actually fell to his doom and doesn't see a sign of the dead Padawan. So the seeds of mistrust are deeply planted in that moment between him and Hunter.
Clones do treat Kamino as home. That's not the first time that we've seen clones consider Kamino to be their home.
True. I love the math is beyond Wrecker. But I also enjoy the fact that Tech does all that math in his head. You know, I had thought during the Bad Batch arc that Tech had some cybernetic enhancements as well, like Echo ends up getting. But the more I watched, when I watched this episode of the Bad Batch, I'm like, maybe he doesn't, because Tech emphasizes how Echo is more machine than man now at a later point, and seems to imply that his intellectual prowess is due to genetic enhancement, not technology. It's great seeing V-Wings again. It's been a little while since we saw that particular starfighter.
And the Empire is already starting to lay on the red tape here.
Yep.
Gotta submit your protocol clearance.
Yeah. I would have loved a response from the V-Wings saying, well, it's an older code, but it checks out. Because it would have, you know, fit with the obvious in-joke from Return of the Jedi, and then also it would have fit with what Tech had just told us about how they'd been away from home for a long, long time. So the first time I watched this episode was with my oldest son, Matthew, before he went to work this afternoon, and he was asking me if we thought we would see some Stormtrooper uniforms already, but we don't actually see that just yet in this episode.
Yep. We do see these red clone troopers, though. These are the Coruscant Guard. We saw them at least once before capturing or killing, rather, fives.
Hmm, yeah. So they're essentially the Black Ops group of clones, or just even the, you know, creme de la creme of special ops. Now, Nathan, do we know which Jedi this was that they killed on Utapau? Kamino.
The episode does not confirm, but I think we do have a good idea of who it is. I'm just going to double check myself before I throw out an incorrect name. I believe
I love how this clone is so rude to Tech, and then Tech takes that to mean that they're operating as normal. Gotta wonder what the Bad Batch's quarters smell like, to make even Echo say the smell's getting worse, because you have to assume that after all of his cybernetic enhancements, he has quite the reduced sense of smell.
Now, what's interesting, though, is for him to say that the smell is getting worse would imply that he has smelled it before. So he's been with the Bad Batch for a while now.
Yeah. This has certainly been a bit after he got rescued.
Yeah, and that was longer than I thought had been implied from the first set of episodes in the final season of Clone Wars.
Yeah. I like that they had battle droid targets hung up on the wall with like vulnerability points marked. And here we have Tech explaining how they've been modified, or most clones, the regular clones, have been modified with the with the chips.
All right, I've double checked. I do believe the Jedi was most likely Shakti.
Hmm. So great. That means we now have yet another canon, at least for now, death of Shakti.
Well, the reason that I say it might be Shakti is because she helped train the clones in an earlier episode of the Clone Wars for Domino's Squad. So that was kind of her area.
So that means that the deleted scenes of her getting killed in Revenge of the Sith are definitely not canon anymore, because she wouldn't have been on Coruscant during the time that Chancellor Palpatine was being kidnapped.
Right.
I love that line. Hunter says, this is the one meeting I don't want to miss. And Tech says, well, there's a first time for everything, implying that Hunter is not a fan of meetings, especially considering this is basically an intergalactic Zoom call from Emperor Palpatine.
Yes, bringing new meaning to the word FaceTime. That is a giant and ugly face.
I also love that Wrecker goes, you can say that again, when Palpatine mentions his deformity.
Now we're getting a look at Omega.
Yeah. The big mystery of this episode for me, and I would say most Star Wars fans. And even Echo here is Echo. Like, whoa, Galactic Empire, that's not cool.
Echoing what Palpatine said there. Yeah, does not seem to like it at all, and I can't blame them.
Yep, and now we have a essentially mindless, brainwashed army of followers ready to do Palpatine's bidding. And, you know, somewhere in the back of his mind, he's issuing his famous line, everything is proceeding as I have foreseen, because this is clearly what he set up in the beginning of the whole Clone Wars.
So Crosshair doesn't see any difference between the Republic and the Empire. He's just following orders, regardless of who gives them.
Yeah. Echoing, if you will, or presaging, I should say, one former Imperial sharpshooter, Mayfeld, that we meet in The Mandalorian later on, who essentially said the same thing about Republic Empire. What's the difference? You know, everybody's killing everybody. But here, Tech answers and says the systematic elimination of the Jedi, i.e. one particular form of religious persecution or genocide, if you will, was the big difference for him. And as always, Star Wars is sprinkled with real world impact, even though it is space fantasy. And then we see the Bad Batch meet Omega, because she's been following them down the hall. She says she feels like she belongs more with them than she does anybody else there, because they're all a bunch of weirdo outcasts as well.
And that's actually hinting at something a little bigger that we'll find out later in this episode.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing there.
Yep. Now, speaking of foreshadowing, I believe one Dave Filoni talked about wanting to see Tarkin's rise to villainy as part of the Bad Batch, and we get it right off the bat here in Aftermath, as Admiral Tarkin arrives, new Imperial uniform, freshly starched, and comes to meet with Tonway and Prime Minister...
I'm just going to go with the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I can't remember the Prime Minister's name. But Tonway and the other Prime Minister here of Kamino are talking to Tarkin about, are we going to keep making clones or not? Because clones ain't cheap.
And we find out here that the Empire values cheapness over effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. As evidenced by Rex's commentary on the quality of plastoid battle armor when he goes undercover as a stormtrooper in Rebels and puts on a helmet and says, how do they see anything in these helmets?
And they've told Tarkin to his face, the clones are superior warriors. Recruiting your own people will result in a bunch of stormtroopers who miss everything.
And I think the Empire takes the same tactic that I sometimes take in Warhammer 40K. I don't bring elite troops. I just bring a bunch of troops. So, you know, you'll eventually hit the target if you put more shots downrange. Wrecker and Tech in the mess room continue to disagree about whether or not clones can be programmed.
And Wrecker states a undeniable fact. He likes to blow things up because he likes to blow things up.
Yep. And Hunter drops his tray on the table to change the subject to talk about Admiral Tarkin's arrival to observe and evaluate all of the clones. And then Omega sits down at the table, because clearly this is now the outcast table in the school cafeteria. I mean, clone cafeteria. This episode brought to you by John Hughes.
Yeah, I remember in middle school and high school, we didn't have assigned seats in the cafeteria, but everybody knew where they were going to sit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was a time when the outcast table was the place where all the kids that still liked Star Wars would go, especially at my school, because I was going to school in the early 90s. And so therefore, by that time, Star Wars was the most uncool thing that it has ever been. Nothing like today, where we have an international holiday basically dedicated to the franchise. And then there's a classic moment of where Omega stands on the table and says the clone that spoke with derision about the Sad Batch needs to take it back and throws pasta at him. Hunter steps up and tries to calm things down. And then Wrecker does his ominous presence behind Omega. One last pithy remark. And it appears that
the situation.
Everything's fine. It's not. Oh, nothing never could, mind.
No. All right.
I enjoy that Wrecker is not just throwing one tray, but then he throws two trays at a time. And the best part about this is. Yes. Echo says not again.
More evidence that Echo has been to Kamino with the Bad Batch before. Crosshair, I would have put money on him just sitting there and eating while the whole fight goes on. But nope, he does get involved too as a clone wipes out his tray there.
Yeah, Matthew said that he figured that Crosshairs would just have sat there and continued eating, except that somebody spilled his food. And then he was like, all right, that's it.
That's the final straw. Nope, seriously, I'm out of straws.
There are no more straws, and so now I gotta fight you. All right, and then we get this moment where Omega gets beamed with the tray and gets knocked out and comes to in the medical lab with AZ-1, I can't even do it, the guy who has the giant serial number as a medical droid. And I just knew that I was going to be correct in my droid sidekick prediction here with AZ, but as we'll see, unfortunately, he doesn't get to accompany our friends.
Yes, but we have seen this droid before. This is the same droid that worked with CT-5555.
Oh. Are you sure that he's the exact same droid? He has the giant serial number?
I have not gone through and checked the serial number exactly, but they both had giant serial numbers.
Okay, all right. I'm sure it's got to be the same one then, because otherwise the joke wouldn't be funny. I also enjoy that AZ takes a moment to tell them all that they're defective, as though this is news to them somehow. And the team takes a minute to remind Echo that he, you know, died. But that more importantly, the last time he died, it was when Tarkin was around. And as we recall from that story arc in the Clone Wars, Tarkin is not a fan of clones.
All right. And I have confirmed it is AZI 3452118962469872137. It is the exact same droid in both the Clone Wars and in the Bad Batch.
Well, I'm going to say I get half points for my droid buddy prediction because instead of a new droid buddy, it was a reappearance or, you know, a cameo from a previous droid buddy.
I think that's close enough to count.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had almost forgotten about the fact that last time Echo was a regular clone, it was trying to rescue Tarkin.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Coruscant Guard meets up with the Bad Batch in the corridor outside the medical lab and tells them, you are not supposed to go for a reprimand. Instead, come to the training area where Admiral Tarkin is going to evaluate you through some war games.
So this is the same style of training area that we see in Domino Squad.
Yeah.
So we've actually seen Echo take on this training course before.
Steven Stanton knocking it out of the park here as the voice of Admiral Tarkin. When they hit that echo effect on him, on his voice, as he said, you know, this battle simulation, it totally reminded me of when Stanton, I believe it's Stanton, did the voice of the spirit of Vodol Kresh in Star Wars The Old Republic MMO video game. When you go into the chamber of the prophet of Vodol Kresh to fight him, you can hear his voice echoing and he's telling you about how Vodol Kresh is the greatest Sith Lord ever. And he's going to possess your body and steal your starship and escape his tomb. Yeah, it's almost exactly the same as when Tarkin was just telling these guys how he is there to evaluate them, essentially trying to determine if they're worthy of serving the Emperor.
And Crosshair proving himself pretty worthy right here, doing a couple of wall jumps to get up onto a tower to take out that tower, three other towers, and then start sniping out several droids.
Yeah, this makes me want to make a sniper character for as an Imperial agent in Star Wars The Old Republic and focus on that long shot acrobatic character build, because you can do that in that game.
Nice.
Very much emulating this idea. Find a high point and start zooming in and blasting people.
Of course, Reko doesn't want to find a high point. He's just going to zoom in and blast slash punch people. Doesn't care that they're made out of metal. He'll punch them anyway.
Yep.
But as a famous smuggler once said, good against machines is one thing, good against the living. Well, that's something else.
Indeed. And so far, we've only seen Wrecker wreck machines, whether it be these training droids or the battle droids. I also enjoy the classic moment here of bad guy orders lethal force and businessman nearby is like, hey, that could cost me money. And bad guy with nearly limitless economic resources promises to compensate him for any damage. But please note, nobody told the Bad Batch that we were switching to live fire. Yep. So he starts blasting away with, Wrecker starts blasting away at the, seem to be prototype dark troopers that just popped out of the floor. And, yeah, and
I do not think that's a coincidence, by the way.
Yep. And not only do they shoot Wrecker, causing him to be like, ow, what the heck? This is a real blaster round. But the Bad Batch suddenly realizes that their weapons are still training weapons and have no effect on the Dark Troopers. So now, they got to get real
that's
fancy.
That's just
here.
Not fair.
Not at all.
Yep. Even that sniper rifle is doing absolutely nothing here.
Yep. And Crosshairs does a phenomenal method of extricating himself from the tower and basically surfing his way back down to behind the barricades where his brothers are.
Wrecker has been shot, but he seems to be okay. This is also an instance of foreshadowing. We'll see that later.
Yep. So Hunter has an idea. He gets the attention of the team and does a hand sign combination to communicate, which Wrecker hates terribly because he has no memory of what the hand signs mean.
I love this line. Why don't you memorize them? I have memorized them.
Yep. And we get another cool Star Wars planet name drop as Tech reminds Wrecker that the code was, let's do what we did on Felucia. So they're off to literally turn their enemy's force against them by finding a way to tackle, beat up, and then reprogram one of the Dark Troopers so that it will fight for them, at least for long enough that they can use its real blasters to actually cause some damage.
And there again, Wrecker, make sure to punch the droid in the head. Because somehow, that's how you knock out a droid.
And the Prime Minister reminds Admiral Tarkin that these aren't regular clones, so they're not going to do regular things.
Which, in this case, probably would have been die. I mean, effective as clones are, you just don't make it out of a situation where your opponent has live fire and you don't.
Yep. But it's a perfectly beautiful Star Wars, almost a rite of sacrament at this point in the franchise's existence. The Bad Batch, who are ostensibly the light side at this juncture, do not win by being excellent warriors. They win this encounter by turning their opponent's destructive forces against them. Mm-hmm. Although Wrecker's execution of a suplex there is pretty epic.
Yes, it is. I like that we get to see a little bit of each of the Bad Batch here. We got to see Crosshair doing the sniper thing. We got to see Wrecker doing his run up and smash things. And then we also get to see Tech, you know, using his skills on the battlefield in a unique and interesting way.
Yep. And of course, Hunter is using his preternatural senses and connection to electrical fields to predict the droid's movements. And then this is the most epic kill I've seen in a Star Wars production yet. Crosshairs uses the blaster to shoot Wrecker's vibroblade midair, hurling it into the face of the Dark Trooper.
I love the fact that even Wrecker is impressed.
Yeah.
Even though he's the one who threw the knife.
Yeah. I think that perhaps he had no idea that Crosshair was going to shoot the knife. I think he thought Crosshair was going to take the knife and go over there and, you know, cut up the droid like Hunter had just done to a different droid. But no, Crosshair made the shot of a lifetime, which of course makes his actions here in just a little bit even more intimidating.
We have baby clones.
Oh, the baby clones. Little tiny baby fits.
Now, we're about to come up on an interesting point.
Yeah.
That I caught, but I thought might have just been a mistake, but it was not. There are
five.
Oh. Yep. And watching a little closer, looking back at the Prime Minister, the Prime Minister was a little taken aback at that answer of five.
Yep. And if you notice, Tan Wei was looking down at Omega when she said we still have five enhanced clones. Executed Order 66.
Tarkin is not big into assumptions. He wants to make sure that there are no more Jedi.
And we get this, a note here from Tarkin that somebody in the Bad Batch filed a counter report. Basically, Crosshair has made sure to tell his commanding officers, hey, I don't think we actually killed that kid on Kallar. Wrecker is rightfully pissed off that he got shot in the training zone.
Cannot blame him there. And turns out Wrecker gets shot a lot.
Yep. And Tech, once again, is taken aback and takes offense at being used as target practice, not keen on the way that the new Empire seems to treat clone lives or lives in general with such disdain. Or I guess not disdain, but with such dismissiveness.
Hunter rightly pointing out they've had very little choice but to take out those droids in any way possible.
Oh, excuse me. That's Nala Se that was talking in the med lab, not Tonway. Tonway is a different Kaminoan.
I always get the Kaminoan names mixed up. But you know, I didn't catch this the first time. Tarkin does drop the 5 number here.
Yeah. I think that means Tarkin is also assuming that the 5 enhanced clones are the 5 clones in the room with him right now.
But only one of them actually caught on to what he said there.
Yep. So Echo doesn't have any enhanced abilities. He just has his cybernetic powers, which does make him marginally better than a Reg. But I would... Sorry, Wrecker and Crosshairs were moved to tears by the new Imperial armory on Kamino.
Somehow I don't think Crosshair was moved to tears. Wrecker might have been mistaken there. But I love the fact that he just one-hands that armory stuff there. He just picks it right up. And despite Tech's protestations, carries it in to the ship that has no more room.
Yep, and then reminds him that he is not going to sleep next to projectiles again.
Omega doesn't trust Tarkin, as don't we all.
Yeah.
So Hunter doesn't want to take Omega along here. And I don't know if he doesn't realize just how much things have changed or if he's just trying to protect her, because the mission field is a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, and he's got weird feelings about Omega, and Crosshair reminds him that kids are not his area of expertise, which would assume is one would assume is basically the same case for all of the clones, because you know, they're not really designed to have normal lives. But you got to wonder if what's happening here is some kind of transference feelings of fatherhood. Here we have Lamassu come and scold Omega for running off and talking to the Bad Batch. And then the Bad Batch, in their epic covert operation shuttle, by the way, come barreling out of orbit or out of hyperspace into orbit of Onderon. Longtime players of Star Wars The Old Republic MMO will remember that Onderon is the site of quite a few of your encounters in the game. So it was nice to see that the Onderon here on the Bad Batch is a dense jungle planet, just like Onderon has been for thousands of years, all the way back to the Old Republic. Of course, Onderon in SWTOR, you do have some settlements that probably have been overgrown by this point in time.
Now, I recognize the name Onderon not so much from the Old Republic, but from the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I heard that name, my first thought was, hey, that's where Saul Guerrera is from.
Yep. So funny you should mention that.
It's not entirely a jungle planet, just this section of it is.
Yep.
So it's one of the rare planets in Star Wars that has more than one biome.
And speaking of Star Wars biomes, when you get run watching The Bad Batch, you guys should check out Star Wars Biomes that was released on Disney Plus today. A pretty cool flyover of some famous Star Wars locations like Hoth and Tatooine and Sorgan. Matthew and I watched that earlier today, and it was beautiful, but there's no narration. It's just basically nature film, but on Star Wars planets.
I have not gotten the chance to watch that. I may have been a bit more excited about The Bad Batch here.
What?
So Crosshair points out that Tarkin never said that we were talking about droids here. These are insurgents. But they are living insurgents.
And Echo and Hunter both recoil at the idea that they're supposed to shoot children because there are children hanging out with the and the elderly.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Crosshair pointed out to Hunter, you know, children aren't exactly your area of expertise. I think in addition to saying, hey, as clones, we don't have kids, they was also kind of ripping him about potentially letting Caleb go.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't manage to take out the kid. And they've got qualms about taking out kids here, too.
Yep. And then we have this ragtag group of soldiers get the drop on the Bad Batch, and everybody puts their hands up, including a very reluctant and annoyed Crosshair. Now, I have to admit, I did not recognize the leader of the insurrectionists here as Saw Gerrera immediately. I did have the closed captioning turned on because that's how I watch all Star Wars productions these days on Disney Plus, so that I don't miss things. But it's nice that for people like me that didn't necessarily recognize Saw, we get a moment in the episode where Echo explains who he is. I think it's Echo. Sorry, it's Tech. My bad.
Of course it's Tech. Tech
he's,
is the one
the
who
king of
holds
didactic
all
memory.
The data.
Yeah. Yeah. But the closed captioning helped me out because it had his name next to his line.
I do like the idea of Saul Guerrera as a character. He started off as an insurgent trained by the Republic, and now he's an enemy of the Empire, which is essentially the same entity that trained him to be a rebel.
Yeah, it's another Vietnam allegory in the world of Star Wars, because no matter what changes about who's in charge of producing new Star Wars, the DNA of the series, if you will, or the intellectual property, will be based on George Lucas's original writings, which were heavily influenced by what was going on in the Vietnam War at that time in real history in the 1970s. And a lot of people who watched Star Wars in the 80s and then especially in the 2000s with the prequels, they tend to think the United States is the allegory for, quote unquote, whoever the good guys are. But that is not the case. Lucas always wrote it to where that the U.S. was more an analog to the Galactic Empire, conquering outplaced, displaced people and you know, outland countries like Vietnam, and that a small group of ragtag rebels that oppose that empire, if you will, just like the Viet Cong, were the ones who had, you know, to win against all odds. Because much like the Republic in the Clone Wars, the U.S. was pretty much on the wrong side when it came to that kind of thing in the Vietnam era. And also, it was Lucas's point to tell us all that warfare is never the good answer, that war makes good men do bad things. And so we see that writ large with Darth Vader And it writ much more terribly and personal with Saul Guerrera's story arc throughout the source, the entirety of his story.
I'm interested to learn more about what happened with Saul Guerrera. So we see him at this point. Obviously, he is rebelling. We see him again later in Rogue One as a leader of his own batch of partisans.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see a bit more about that in between time. You know, maybe we could get Solo too, and he could show up.
That would be great. But yet, clearly, this is young and idealistic Saul Guerrera who has just finished helping take down the Separatists, only to see the Republic that he loved so much turn into that thing that it was opposing, totalitarian government, you know? And so he is once again rebelling against the totalitarian government, but now we're going to see him be young and almost impulsive, I would say, as he tries to fight the Empire. And it will be interesting, like you just said, to see throughout the course of this series, hopefully, he and the other groups of rebels not necessarily always gel, but all feel like they're on the same side. And then at some point they have that split.
So we get our first look at an Imperial probe droid there.
Yep.
Spying on our Bad Batch.
And Crosshair keeps reminding them we need to complete the mission. And Echo, once again, is the voice of reason saying, they sent us to eliminate innocent civilians. And Crosshairs kind of echoes what Saul Guerrera said a few minutes ago, in that times change and targets change. So Saul, already realizing that the Empire is not going to consider him or any of the old ladies or young girls with him to be civilians any longer. Once again, a Vietnam allegory. At one point, the commanders of the American forces began to order people to engage civilians because they had been subjected to bombing attacks by civilians.
So Hunter uses his enhanced senses to realize the probe droid is following them.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned in Empire Strikes Back that just because you blow up a probe droid doesn't mean it didn't already send out information.
That's right. And now the crew has to argue about whether or not they need to go back and get Omega, or if they should avoid Kamino forever. And then Tech drops the bombshell and says that Omega is an enhanced clone. And Wrecker's like, yeah, good joke. But then he says, no, when Nalase said five clones, Tarkin assumed that it was these five guys. But Echo's not an enhanced clone. So there's only four enhanced clones in the Bad Batch. And then Omega is an enhanced clone herself.
And then Tech so also mentions that, you know, he thought it was obvious that she was a clone. How could anybody not catch that?
It's a very Spock-like statement of, well, Captain, I didn't bring this up because it is intellectually and logically obvious. And then Wrecker pulls the best McCoy card out of the deck and goes, what do you mean, you green-blooded Vulcan?
So I have seen a few people questioning how it could be that she is a clone of Jango Fett, given that she is, well, a she. And I think the answer to that is
obvious. Is that what you're about to say?
Yes, obvious. none of these characters, aside from Echo, are pure clones of Jango Fett. In fact, even Echo's not a pure clone. Only Boba Fett was a pure clone of Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So clearly they just messed with some of the genes and made a girl instead of a boy.
Yep, absolutely. It's just a simple chromosome swap here and there. And bada boom, you're a chick. I do love this scene here where Omega and AZ are bopping around the Bad Batch quarters and she finds Wrecker's little stuffed bunny. Now, Nathan, is that a new thing? Or is that stuffed animal a reference to a Clone Wars joke that I don't remember?
As far as I can tell, that is a new thing. I did not recognize it.
And we see Omega pull out the little family photo, if you will, from Wrecker's footlocker. And she gazes longingly at the group because she very much wants to feel like she belongs. And now that we know that she's a clone, it explains her affinity for Hunter and them because, yes, they're all outcasts, but also it helps explain Hunter's sort of, you know, weird feelings about her because it's almost like she's his daughter, or if not daughter, little sister. If the clones all view each other as brothers and she's also from the same stock, it would make sense for them to think of her as a little brother. AZ is down.
AZ has been shot. Is there no depth to which these Imperials will not stoop?
Apparently not. So yes, AZ is down. The Bad Batch is flying back in their epic covert shuttle. And this time, there's no comm scan to receive them, no V-wings to escort them, or, you know, nothing like that. And even when they fly the ship down and land on the platform, those rainy, slick platforms of Kamino that we all know from Attack of the Clones, the doors don't even open. They're going to have to walk in through the rain. Not that it isn't almost always raining on Kamino. It's like the Seattle of the Star Wars galaxy.
Very true. So it's interesting to me. We can hear Tarkin order, yeah, go kill those kids. But you know, since we don't see it happening, we're almost disconnected from it. You know, shooting AZ, it's a bit more personal. And even though it's not as evil of a thing, it really sells the point that, you know, these are the bad guys now.
Yes, the clones have very much switched to the dark side with a literal flip of a switch in their heads. And the Coruscant guard gets the jump on the Bad Batch in the hangar, and Crosshairs is not surprised at all.
Yeah, and then seems like they planned for this eventuality.
So this lets us know that Tarkin saw them talking to Saw Gerrera, and the probe droid reported in such a detailed manner that he not only knew they were having a conversation, but knew who they were talking to. He could easily make out Saw Gerrera on the report.
I figured that he probably knew that Saw Gerrera was there in the first place. That's why they ordered them to go there.
Yeah, but the fact that he used the phrase conspiring, I think means that he is aware of the conversation even.
Now, the Empire, evil, but also at times completely inept. Not sure why you would put all six of your high security problem prisoners in the same cell.
Well, I believe Tech answers that for us in a few minutes here. It's not like they have a bunch of cells to use on Kamino.
True.
And here's Crosshair getting all the pressure from the biochip inside his head to tell Hunter, you've gone soft, man. We're supposed to go out and kill people and not ask questions, don't have emotions, and stop making choices. But then the rest of the team reminds him that that's their whole thing, is disobeying orders, and he's the one that's been changed, and they are so correct.
Look at that famous line. Good soldiers follow orders.
Yep. You know, we were talking about Hunter's tattoo earlier, and you mentioned that other clones have tattoos. Obviously, I've totally forgotten about the fact that Crosshair has a tattoo as well. He's got the targeting reticule over his right eye. So yeah, it's definitely not face paint, but a tattoo. But my question still remains, I guess we'll just see what listeners and other folks might have to say. Is it to just look intimidating, or is it supposed to look like half of his face is a skull? Because, you know, skulls are a big thing for the Bad Batch's iconography. You had, Gregor and Rex and help me out, the other guys in the Wolfpack.
Are you talking about the guys who are in Rebels?
Yeah. The Wolfpack crew.
That would be Wolf.
Yes, Wolf. Thank you. Jeez, yeah. I can't believe I couldn't remember that part. Anyway, they all had the Wolf iconography.
Not, Gregor was not originally part of the Wolfpack. We saw him in D Squad, probably my least favorite of the entire Clone Wars. Did not particularly enjoy that arc. But Gregor himself was pretty good. He had lost his memory. And I assume that that messed with his inhibitor trip. So that he
seems like anytime you take mental trauma, it does mess with your inhibitor chip, because that's what's happened to Echo.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is the wolf pack wolves were a very big iconography on their armor and whatnot.
Yes.
Bad Batch seems that they go for the skulls. And so here we see the Kaminoans take Crosshair to the med lab, realizing that his inhibitor chip kind of functioned, because he's been saying good soldiers follow orders and arguing with Hunter and wanting to kill kids. Tarkin orders the Kaminoans to enhance his inhibitor chip so that he will once again be a mindless slave.
To intensify forward batteries.
intensify forehead chakra. So that answered my question of earlier in the episode when the Bad Batch got to the hangar and the Coruscant guard got the drop on him and Tarkin came out and gave him the speech. I kind of wondered, why did they just kill him? They could just shoot them all right there. They'd die, et cetera. We'd be done with it. But the answer is they think of them as valuable and they want to do what they just did to Crosshair, to the whole squad, which is, you know, turn back on the inhibitor chip so they'll work for the Empire. So that's why they're still alive, in my opinion.
That does make sense.
And so Tech now explains, we don't have a whole lot of jail cells here on Kaminoa, and they just had to, you know, modify regular rooms to serve as a jail cell. So that means somebody like Wrecker could punch a hole in the wall, literally, and they could escape. So let's see if he's correct.
I like how they work together in this scene. Mm-hmm. We have Echo and Hunter and Omega kind of blocking the line of sight.
I do like the fact that Omega tries to help block line of sight, even though she's less than half the size of anyone else in that room.
I don't know if you caught this, but when they were talking, Omega and Hunter had very similar hand positions. Mm-hmm. They were sitting in very similar positions. And Hunter actually noticed that similarity and gave her a look.
Yep. And I wonder if that is a, hey, look, we're clones. So I move and act the same way y'all do. Or if it just more of a, I'm a kid and I am emulating the adults around me. Because trust me, as a father, I catch my children doing what I'm doing all the time. And they're not exactly clones, but they emulate the adults around them. Or more to the point, they emulate whoever's older that's around them, because it's part of being a human being. And I have several photographs of when Matthew is like 8 or 9 years old and his little brother is there behind him, like 3 years younger, literally watching him to see what to do. And then later in photographs is doing the same thing that Matthew did. So definitely Omega, part of it is Omega is emulating them because she's a clone. But I think part of it is also that she's a kid.
Omega is a skinny little kid, and that came in handy for Star-Lord at one point in time. It's coming in handy for her now.
Yep. And now Wrecker tries his hand at subterfuge by lying to the Coruscant guard about what sounds were coming out of the wall. And both Hunter and Tech facepalm it because Wrecker is terrible at lying.
And he started off so well. If he had just said, oh, sorry, that was me, I banged my head, he would have been fine.
Speaking of headbanging, Omega busts out of the ventilation shaft and crashes down on the Coruscant guard, knocking out two of them. But unfortunately, the third one runs and grabs her. But that was a bad move.
Before she brings down the force field, keeping the rest of the Bad Batch prisoner, and they come out and rescue her.
Pretty sure Wrecker punched that guy hard enough to knock some paint off of his helmet.
Yes, he did.
That's quite a punch.
And now we see those clone troopers just coming to as the Bad Batch makes their way out to try to find Crosshair.
And we have a classic. She did it again. Omega's doing the hand signs that that Hunter is. Yeah, that's definitely a daughter following her dad kind of moment right there. That's so cute. Yep. And they make their way to the hangar because she knows where they have stowed all of the Bad Batch's gear. And man, do they have a lot of tech. Nathan, you absolutely got to take a squadron of clone troopers from Star Wars Legion and paint them to be Bad Batch.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping that they come up with Bad Batch as a...
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
But it takes a while to get from concept all the way to actual available product. So
yeah,
it probably won't be for at least a year and a half at the earliest that we would get anything for them.
Yeah.
But when they do show up, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the rest of this season to see if they might be rebels in addition to Republic.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole episode has made me think, will there be a Grand Moff Tarkin or just a Tarkin figure that comes with stuff to be Grand Army of the Republic or stuff to be Imperial or both? And now we have the face-off moment between Hunter, erstwhile member of the Bad Batch, and the rest of his battle brothers. A classic Star Wars sacrament here of my brother betrayed me. No, you betrayed us. And the rest of the Bad Batch realizes when Hunter and Crosshair are talking that they're going to have to fight their way out of this room one way or another. And we get a very long, tense, epic standoff with about 7 different moments of ratcheting up the tension. Crosshair spits out his toothpick. That means he's serious. The camera zooms wide to show us just how little space is between the Coruscant guard with Crosshair and the rest of the Bad Batch. The thunder rumbles. Troopers tighten their grips on their weapons. The Bad Batch tightens their grips. Omega looks worried. And both men furrow their brows as they grip their triggers and then squint. Blam! And we're off.
But Hunter knew what was up and ducked out of the way just in time.
Yep. But the Coruscant Guard have come with thermal scopes embedded in their helmets, and certainly Crosshair has his thermal scope. So they throw down that smoke to give them a slight advantage, a move that you can emulate in Star Wars Battlefront 2 if you play as Lando Calrissian, who carries smoke bombs and his Night Singer, or Night Whisper blaster pistol, or whatever it's called, that allows him to get thermal vision. So you can do that in the video game as well.
Wrecker taking some lessons from Maul, throwing doorways at people.
Yeah, not a bad plan. It works okay until he gets shot. But Crosshair shot him in such a way as to not kill him, leave him wounded so that the rest of the team would be drawn out from their cover. What a evil and dastardly move.
And it does pay off the foreshadowing we had earlier of Wrecker gets shot a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the foreshadowing of Tonway looking at Omega with a loving glance, because we see that here... She is the one who is back upstairs making sure that the door to the cargo bay doesn't actually close so that the Bad Batch has a chance to escape with Omega.
And Omega makes sure to bring the stuffed animal along with her.
Yep. And then after she gets the stuffed animal taken care of, she decides to grab one more toy. But it ain't no toy. She blasts the scope of Crosshair's gun to knock his sniper rifle out of his hand. And then he pulls his pistol to just straight up shoot the little girl in the face, but she ain't taking it. And she lays down some covering fire, forcing Crosshair to run away. And the rest of the crew jump into the starship and they are off with Omega in tow and a grimacing and newly clad in Death Trooper-esque armor Crosshair standing and watching as we see Sunway look at her control pad, safe and secure in the knowledge that Omega has been rescued.
I think this is another indication of Omega's status as a clone, because only clones are that naturally good at marksmanship. Mm-hmm. I like how this information is presented of, oh no, they have escaped. I have no idea how that could possibly have happened.
Yeah, and I don't think the Prime Minister is fooled for 1 second here.
No, no. But at a minimum, the Prime Minister does not trust Tarkin at this point. He's more than willing to withhold information.
Yeah, and he's more than willing to make exceptions when it comes to saving his creations, because as much as they sell them and, you know, their stock in trade is clones, they also feel like any other scientist or, you know, artist, they don't want things to happen to their creations. And here we see that Tech is actually a pretty competent medic as well.
Yep. Very intelligent in multiple fields. I guess if Wrecker's on your crew, you have to learn how to fix blaster wounds.
Yeah, because he gets them a lot, apparently. And then Omega sneaks up to the cockpit and it's just odd, as would we all be, honestly, to see the starfield spread out before her. And Hunter correctly deduces it's her first time in space. And I have to admit, watching her reactions as a child to being in a Star Wars starship and then seeing the jump to light speed first person, it's a beautiful allegory for how everybody in my generation felt when we saw Star Wars for the first time, because it was new.
Absolutely. So Hunter is still in charge, even though they are no longer part of the Republic.
Yeah, they are their own operating force, as it were. And they're still going to operate as though they were a team of commandos, though. So Hunter orders a course for J-19.
Scott, do you know a guy on J-19?
I know a guy who knows a guy, and you're that guy. Why don't you let everyone know who's on J-19? I guess, spoiler alert.
I don't know who's on J-19.
Oh, well, then I don't know either, because I figured you would know.
No, I believe this is the first reference we've had to J-19.
Well, Wrecker seems to know because he was all J-19, ha-ha, and punched Hunter in the shoulder. And then we see this beautiful shot of a child and the wonderment of Star Wars for children, where Omega's eyes reflect the jump to light speed, the titular and iconic stretching out of the stars as she literally takes her first step into a larger world. And credits created by Dave Filoni, the one and only. Great times. Good episode. Wonderful start. A beautiful thing to watch on Star Wars Day.
Yeah. Now, when they said that they had a friend, I thought they were going to talk about Saul Guerrera. So I was expecting Onderon there, but
yeah. No, so it looks like J-19 is a thing. Now, so because you don't know for sure, and obviously I don't either, before we wrap up this episode of What a Piece of Junk, prediction for who you think will be on J-19.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of who all we know that they know. It could be Rex.
Could be.
But I don't know how they would know where Rex is at this point.
And he did say, I know a guy, making me think that it might be, you know, a male character, but that could just be an expression.
True. Gosh, I really have no idea. I almost expect it to be a new character.
That could be the case as well.
I'm just trying to think of who all we know that they know. They know Anakin Skywalker, but that doesn't really help us much.
Plus, I don't think they would assume he's on J-19. Well, here's my prediction. I think this is how we're going to get introduced to Fennec Shand in the Bad Batch series. I think the person they're going to see, again, I know a guy, I think it's just an expression, and it's going to be Ming-Na Wen providing the voice for Fennec Shand. And that's how she's going to become part of the Bad Batch series, because that would be their connection to the underworld with bounty hunter Fennec Shand. And of course, at this point in time, the Bad Batch needs to get connected to the underworld because they got to go hide.
Could be. Another possibility is Cad Bane.
True.
And then Cad Bane could in turn introduce them to Fennec Shand. That would allow them to maintain the, well, I know a guy, and it actually mean a guy.
Yep, and it would be a way to confirm that Cad Bane is still alive. Mm-hmm. And sort of reintroduce him to a new generation of Star Wars fans.
Wait, oh, no. I have my official prediction.
Okay, all right.
Of who I would like it to be, even though there's a good chance it's not. Hondo Ohnaka.
Yes, I would be okay with being wrong in order for it to bring back Hondo. Yeah, that's pretty great. I'm sticking with my prediction of Fennec Shand, but if it's Hondo, I will not be disappointed.
All right. Well, I think your prediction is probably closer to correct, but I'm sticking with Hondo just because it would be epic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, Nathan, as we wrap up, where can people find you out there on the social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Gooey Chewy, GOOEYCHEWIE. You can also find me on Instagram under the same handle. And you can find me on Facebook as my real name, Nathan Miracle. And Scott, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook under my real name, Scott Baltman. You can check me out on Twitter at ScotticusMax, or I do a little bit of Instagram at Derek_Gray. And please check out my author website where I do my own science fiction novels at writegreatscott.com. Thank you all so much for joining us. We look forward to review episodes of every story from The Bad Batch throughout the course of this coming year. And so we appreciate you being in our listening audience. And in between shows, please don't hesitate to send us any kind of suggestions or comments about how we can make the show more enjoyable for you. And as always, please remember to respect each other and respect each other's fandom. All right, Nathan, punch it.